Hi-ho!
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 We are now recording. This is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and Abe is unfortunately not here. He got called away to some work matters, but we shall press on. Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I discuss new movies weekly. We dig into film, the most important for the review, the occasional commentary track, or some other fun movie topic. This is episode 615, 615, and this week we're talking Snow White. Finally, a Snow White movie. And joining me to discuss Snow White, we have a Tony Award-winning producer and the co-founder of Ember Productions. He'll take a Honeycrisp, a Red Delicious, or a Fuji, but don't you dare hand him a Granny Smith. It's Maxwell Hatted.
I'm so glad that someone understands precisely how I feel about Granny Smith apples. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. Thank you for having me, Aaron.
For sure. Also joining us, the other half of Ember Productions. Don't call her grumpy, as she's been bashful for years. It's Amber Coates.
Hello, hello. I don't know if I'm actually that bashful, but let's go.
Well, glad to have you here, Amber. Glad to have you on for the first time on the show. Always happy to have new guests on Out Now.
Hooray. What a pleasure.
It is a pleasure, and it's a pleasure to have you both here. I look forward to talking about Snow White with you all, but we have plenty of things to get to before we get to that. First up, some show notes. What's going on in the show notes here? First up, new commentary track. We do commentaries every month on this podcast. This month, we did Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. That's up now. That was a fun discussion. We had a lot of things to go over, lots of tangents, lots of good things with Yancey, Scott Mendelson, and Brandon Peters. Good times were had.
I know them.
Yeah, you certainly do. In fact, you were on at least two podcasts with me and one of those people at one point.
That's very true. Rest in peace, the Jack and Chloe Adventure Cast or whatever it was called.
And of course, the Ichabod Crane Cast.
That was really our peak.
That was, yeah, the best titled Sleepy Hollow podcast of all time.
I was going to say, that's a great title.
Absolutely. Right? If there was a way, like, even though we ditched the show, if there was a way to keep that title for whatever the hell else we wanted to do, it would have been amazing.
If you get a crane, name it that.
A crane that does podcasts.
What's wild to me is that was over a decade ago.
Right? Isn't that wild?
Like, time is amorphous at best, but still, it does not feel like it's been that long.
That's how old Out Now is, that we've been doing it for multiple years, where I was like, we should do another podcast.
Listen, it can be addicting.
Well, speaking of other podcasts, by the way, I have to keep mentioning it, and I'm happy to mention it. I do have another podcast. It is called Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla, and we are in between episodes right now, but our second episode comes out this coming Friday at the time of this recording. We're talking Godzilla Raids again, Terrence and I, on that. So if you haven't checked out Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla already, what are you doing? It's just as fun as this show, but with more black people. That should not be a tagline. That's not how
the show works. You're not wrong. You're not wrong in this case.
It's an 100% true statement, that's for sure.
But less Jews.
But yeah, it's the same amount of Jews as this pod. Oh, yeah. Well, is this?
No,
this,
I'm
this episode no, specifically.
This episode
yes.
specifically.
This, you're yeah. right. Correct. Thanks for keeping me true there. What else? Speaking of other podcasts, I was a guest on Mark Hoffmeyer's show, My Movies, Films, and Flicks. We did a 2018 action scenes draft. We had so much fun doing the 2024 action scenes draft. Where Mark has decided that we're going to do a lot of these years. So stay check out Movie, Films, and Flicks. Certainly a fun show. Always glad to talk to Mark Hoffmeyer, friend of the show. What else? iTunes reviews and ratings, of course. Good to get those. Helps out the show. Helps other people find the show. If you want to log into iTunes, search for Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can do just that. You can search for our show and be like, oh, there it is. And then you can go to the ratings and review tab and be like, I should give one of those. And you do. And then everybody's happy. So thanks in advance for ratings and reviews of our show. Okay. That concludes the show notes section of this episode. Let's move on to Out Now Quickies. Tim, each week in Out Now, we have one movie we talk about. Out Now Quickies. Tim. I'm happy with that. It's very fast. I know Amber has to stay on her toes to keep up with all this. But Amber, I'm going to start with you. What else have you been watching this week?
Oh, goodness. Before we even started recording, we were talking about the fact that we had just finished the White Lotus Episode 6, Denials, which was absolutely phenomenal. I'm not even going to say anything more than that. I love that show.
I'm enjoying season 3 quite a bit. I really enjoyed seeing Sam Rockwell pop up last week. I look forward to whatever's coming next in this crazy adventure
Oh, it
that
makes
they're on.
me so happy. I think if I don't make a random audible noise at least once per episode, it's not for me. And then I make many random audible noises. And I'm pretty sure that if we had neighbors sharing our TV wall, they would hate us because I scream a lot in my living room.
They keep saying Piper, no, and it's like, why?
Papa, no. Tsunami. Anyway, thank you, Parker Posey, for being the genius you are.
So White Lotus, anything else?
Ooh, we started watching The Righteous Gemstones, which yet
Started as if you
another.
hadn't before, or you're just starting this new season?
I think we hadn't before, and we
Like
just
at
finished
all?
season one
Oh,
at
okay.
all.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, Abe and I are big fans of Righteous Gemstones on this
Oh,
podcast.
I didn't realize it was so funny. Well,
Oh
you
yeah.
love it too, right?
Yeah, season one was excellent. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Deeply, deeply. I mean, Danny McBride, just the way he chooses to say things that on paper are not funny makes me laugh, but the
Yes.
like joke ratio on that show, the satire, truly
Today I called it a Danny McBride joint, which made me laugh really hard.
great.
And then everybody around me like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Listen, it's fine. Go watch it. Just go watch it."
I think there's an argument to be made that each season has gotten better. So you have things in store for you that you should be very excited about seeing.
That is
I am
exciting.
absolutely thrilled. Keep it up.
Great.
Yay.
Well, Max, how about you? What else have you been watching?
So yesterday I went and saw The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie,
Ah.
which I thought was an absolute delight. I laughed pretty much for 90 minutes straight. I loved the hand-drawn animation. Frankly, in the year of our Lord 2025, seeing an American film that was hand-drawn animation was so nostalgic and so wonderful, and makes me wish other studios were doing it. And I loved the like 1950s sci-fi throwback vibes. Just a really enjoyable movie. Warner Brothers should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's coming out of Ketchup Studios, so like the marketing budget for the Day the Earth Blew Up is basically not there. So you have to like practically just know somebody that told you about it to find that movie.
Yep.
But the fact that now Ketchup's entertaining buying Coyote versus Acme, the famous Warner Brothers
Yes.
film that's been like shelved essentially, I hope that it's not just like we acquired it, but they get like the right effort in to like sell the fact that this movie exists so there can be something proven that this movie is like good or whatever it is, and people actually go see it.
I can't help but feel that in that case, all of the like press and rigmarole about the cancellation has been good marketing for it on its face.
That's what I like to hope.
So hopefully Ketchup does buy it and releases it because I'm dying to see it.
I just, I love
If
that
maybe the
premise.
marketing or if like the hullabaloo around this has kind of lit up theaters for the movie you saw yesterday.
I
The
mean,
about
in the
it's not
words,
doing that great, but it also wasn't expensive, so I don't know.
it wasn't
That's
expensive.
fair.
There was just no commercial for it. Like there, like I'd imagine kids probably saw like something on, Nickelodeon and Disney
Yeah.
Channel or whatever to say like, hey, this exists, but not, it's not saturation marketing. Like, it's like Snow White, like as far as knowing that it's
Right.
coming out. But the internet certainly knows about it as much as that transfers to box office
Yes.
dollars. So anything else, Maxwell?
Yeah, the other thing I've been watching that I think is really excellent is Max's The Pit.
Oh, love the pit.
It is, I watch a lot of medical dramas, and I love how, keeping in mind I'm not a doctor, seemingly authentic this feels. It doesn't like do the like swelling music and scores. And I think the like 24-esque, wherein each episode is 1 hour of a ship conceit, actually works really well. I was worried it would feel like a gimmick, but it actually allows the episodes to move really quickly and for the audience to really feel like they're in the throes of an emergency room. And Noah Wyle is fantastic. So I'm really, really enjoying that.
Entirely agree. I think The Pitt's a fantastic drama. It's the kind of show that it's so good, like the ensemble is so good that like it will by default not get Emmy nominations because like nope, there's no like beyond like Wiley, there's no like standout other performance because everyone's like very good on this thing. It's like you can't like
Although I agree
disseminate
with
it.
you, although I do want to highlight Fiona Dourif, who I
She's
love
great.
her in all the Chucky movies she's in, and she's doing a great job in the show playing a very different kind of character. But I agree, the entire ensemble is so good and they coalesce so well that it is hard other than Noah to like highlight someone as being, oh yeah, give them a supporting actor or supporting actress nod. It would just be like, and this is why I think all award shows should have some sort of best ensemble nomination.
Yeah, I
Ooh.
entirely agree. I do think that'd be a good step for like when you have so many ensemble shows of this nature that it works so well because of the chemistry and everything that goes into making these kind of things work. All right. Well, I've seen a few things that I want to make note of. One is a film called Bob Trevino Likes It. Have you either of you
Oh,
heard this movie?
I've heard about
the
this.
the movie theater Amber works at until tomorrow when her last shift is has a big poster for it outside.
That we do. That we do. I work at an art house movie theater. So, and I actually tomorrow is my last day. But so yeah, definitely have a poster for it. And I think we're having an event. I might end up, I'm still working events there, just not working there all the time. So I might end up working that. I don't know. Could be
Well,
fun.
I hope you just get to see the movie at least, because
That would be really cool.
I think it's fantastic. This is one of my favorite movies of the year I've seen so far. It's from director writer Tracy Lehman, based on a it's like semi based on true things that happen, but it stars Barbie Ferreira, who's on Euphoria.
Oh, I love her.
She plays a young woman who has a terrible father, played by French Stewart of all people, who gives a really good performance as a very hateable person. Her father's terrible to her. She tries to find him on Facebook and accidentally finds another person with the same name, played by John Leguizamo. John
Who
Leguizamo,
is
who
amazing
I
always?
love Johnny Legs. Okay, give me him doing anything and it's great. The two of them
Amen.
form a friendship, just a platonic friendship, and it's just a drama about both of their lives and things that stem out of them, meeting each other and becoming friends, and both of them end up doing separate things going on in their personal lives. There's not like a lot of like showiness to sell this movie on. It's just a really damn good comedy drama. I love this movie. I think it's fantastic. The places it goes made me realize how invested I was in this story, more so than I like was. I was already enjoying it, and then it goes to certain places where I'm like, I am so won over by everything this film is doing. So I think it's just utterly delightful. Bob Trevino likes it. Please go see this movie. It's great.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I watched Locked. This is a thriller
Oh, yes.
with Alexander, not Alexander, Bill Skarsgård, the other
Bill.
Skarsgård. Bill Pennywise Skarsgård and Anthony Hopkins, who's mostly phoning it in, only because he is on the voice of a
I
phone for most of the movie.
understood your joke.
Thank you. Skarsgård tries to carjack a SUV, and then he gets locked inside. And then Anthony Hopkins calls the SUV and basically tortures the guy inside, trying to teach him a lesson about stealing cars. It's apparently it's a remake of a oh my God, is it a Norwegian or no? It's not really Norwegian, isn't it? No, I'm way off. I think it's Argentinian. other hemisphere, other side of the world. It could seem like it's gimmicky, but I think it plays pretty fair. I'm not going to say it's great, but in terms of like building tension out of the pretty straightforward high concept, I liked what I got here. And a lot of that comes from the fact that I think Bill Skarsgård's very good in this. And Anthony Hopkins, again, mostly through voice, he does eventually show up. So he's like, oh, he actually did show up on set. That's nice. He's having a lot of fun playing this kind of twisted antagonist. It's the kind of thing where if you had somebody different that wasn't quite as playful as Hopkins is with the dialogue, it probably wouldn't work as well as it does. But because the actors are so committed, it works. So I was quite a fan. Fan enough to recommend it. I wouldn't say race out to go see Locked, but if it's streaming and you're like, oh yeah, that movie, it's not a bad watch.
Oh, excited for that one.
All right. I watched Ash. This is a film from Flying Lotus, who I know as
Oh,
a
yeah.
like electronic music guy.
Yeah.
And he's made a film. He features Isaac Gonzalez, basically waking up with no memory of what happened on another planet. Something happened to all our crew because they're no longer around. Aaron Paul shows up as someone that's supposedly responding to a distress call, and it involves her dealing with like what's going on. Is there an alien? Something's happening. Why is my crew gone? She's slowly figuring out what's gone on because her memory's gone. The movie's very fine. It ends well because it's got to build up to something, and it's also very colorful. And obviously, the music is very good because it's made by Flying Lotus. I would say it's certainly a waiting game as you're kind of dealing with this person, trying to piece together things that happened. Meanwhile, you as an audience member are like, well, I know, like, you know what basically probably happened, but you have to wait for the character to realize what happened. But that said, by the time it gets to the good stuff, which is later in the film, you can tell Flying Lotus is like a really big video game fan because it's like a lot of Resident Evil and Dead Space and Silent Hill, like all throughout this movie. And then once things ramp up, it becomes even more evident that he's very much a fan of those games because things happen that are disgusting and whatnot. So, if you're a sci-fi fan that wants to see something colorful and you don't mind having to be a little patient about it, not a bad movie. It's not bad. What else? Because I have so many things. Two quick things. One, Adolescence. Have you watched Adolescence yet on Netflix?
It's high on my list, just haven't had time yet.
It delivers. I don't want to get like say more about it because I went in completely blind, and I'd like to offer the listener the same experience. I will say it's from the same team that did Boiling Point, which is a single shot film taking place during one night in a restaurant, which I think is very good. That's also streaming somewhere too, and it stars Stephen Graham. Stephen Graham is in Adolescence as well, and I believe he's a co-writer on the 4-episode miniseries that's here on Netflix. It's not the happiest of stories, but it's very well made and it's very well done. And again, it's 4 episodes. I knocked this out in 2 days. I was very happy about it. It's just like watching like one long film, but it's quite good. I can see why it is amassed the acclaim that it's amassed. And I think I'll leave it there. I'm talking a lot. So yeah, that's out of quickness. TM.
We will need to watch that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've
So.
heard nothing but good things about the young actor in
Yes.
the show
Yeah,
as well.
for sure. The whole, I mean, you're not going to find anyone that's ringing a false note, but yes, he's very impressive given what's asked of him. All right, let's move on. Let's get some trailer talk. We're talking about one of the newest movie trailers of the week, what we thought of it, what have you. This week we're talking Freakier Friday, the sequel to 2003's Freaky Friday. You see what they did there is they took off the Y and they added IER, so now it's a freakier phrase. It's even freakier than the last time. Because it's,
Puns.
they sacrificed SEO for the sake of the cleverness of that title. That's what they did there. This
Oh, yeah.
film, it stars once again Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. It also brings on, well, and Chad Michael Murray's back as well. I didn't even realize this. Oh my God. Along with Mark Harmon, he's back too. He's doing all that. Yeah, and then we're adding on, let's see, there's Emmanuel Jacinto. There's Maitri Ramen Krishiran from, what's that show? Never Have I Ever. Julia Butters from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And a Sophia Hammonds. I'm just reading names. All these people are here because this Friday is that freaky, guys. That's what's going on. The plot, from what I can tell, body switching happens once again, but between more than just a couple people this time around. So, all that said, Amber, are you a fan of Freaky Friday? And are you looking forward to the sequel?
I absolutely adored the first movie. It was in the heyday of Miss Lohan, and I was obsessed with it, I think. Especially the very, very good soundtrack, because all of that music is phenomenal. But I am very excited because honestly, she's kind of going through a little bit of a renaissance right now, Miss Lindsay Lohan. And I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I love seeing them in movies together. The trailer looks really funny. And yes, Chad Michael Murray does take off his helmet in that trailer and he kind of shakes his hair. So yeah, that's him. I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with it because it looks like it's I think at least one of them is Lindsay's daughter in the movie. So I find that to be very intriguing. And the younger girls are Lindsay and Jamie Lee. So I think that's fun. I can't wait.
All right, Maxwell, how about you?
Yeah, similarly, I love the original L. It was Lindsay Lohan for a while there was very important to me. And I've seen the first many, many times. In fact, I remember when it came out thinking that Jamie Lee Curtis was so damn good, she should have been in the Oscar hunt. And she did get a Golden Globe nom for it. So it's a brilliant
A very
comedic
important
performance.
Golden Globe nomination,
Yes. I'm not going to sit here and say this particular trailer is great, but I think it gives a nice tease to show that We're in good hands and it could be enjoyable. Frankly, just to see Lindsay and Jamie Lee having fun on screen together again seems like we're in for a good time, and we'll see how it goes.
Here's a
It
follow-up
feels
question.
nostalgic.
It for sure. And here's my follow-up question to both of you. Have you been watching Lohan's romantic comedies on Netflix?
Yes, we
We have
watched at least one
watched.
of them.
Yeah, we watched it. Yes.
How's that going?
It was pure cheese, but fun cheese.
I mean, they're better than Hallmark movies. I'm not sure that that's necessarily a hard bar to clear. But, you know, when you're depressed in December and you throw it on the TV while doing other stuff at midnight, okay,
Here's a
sure, why
more
not?
specific question. How's Lohan doing in these movies?
She's good, you know, she's solid, right? Like she's charming,
Yeah.
she can deliver the jokes well, she looks good. She's still got it. I think she might have lost it for a while, but I think she has gotten her stuff together and does a good enough job to suggest that she can still carry a studio comedy.
All
Yeah, I agree with that. Do we get a documentary called How Lindsay Got Her Groove Back? Because I will take it.
right.
Nah, it's honestly like I've enjoyed what she does. I'm a big rom-com person, so I'm a rom-communist. Thank you. I think she's really kind of getting her sea legs back about her. It felt rocky there for a little bit. So I'm happy to see her doing well-ish.
Fair enough. I don't have too much of an opinion on Lohan's recent work. Freaky Friday is a movie I saw once in theaters and I've seen like half a time since because it was on like TV once and I was just like watching a little bit of it. That's not to say I don't like the movie, it's just more I just haven't had a reason to revisit it. Will I before this movie comes out? Probably. I recall liking it fine. Like it does the job. And I agree, Curtis is, it's the bigger kind of role or play, right? For Jamie Lee Curtis having her as a teenager. So like her. Watching this trailer, like you, Max, I'm not gonna say like this like won me over, like, oh my God, I can't wait. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, it looks cute. As far as this kind of thing goes, I have nothing against the idea of doing this, making a legacy sequel to Freaky Friday. I do like the idea of, yes, there's multiple swaps going on. All of that said, I mean, I did see what Jennifer Garner did that in another Netflix movie where like there's like the whole family swaps of each other kind of thing. I think
Oh,
it's literally
I
just called
watch.
Family Swap.
It is
Yeah.
just called Family Swap.
So in terms of like the novelty of not just two people swapping bodies, but like an entire family doing it, like I've seen that play out in a way already. So it's like, well, I'm not gonna say it takes, it steals its thunder, but it's like, okay, so one of these.
Yeah.
But again, you're not wrong. Seeing Curtis and Lohan doing this again back together, I hope there's like good reason. Like I don't need like the mechanics of how the magic works, but I hope there's like decent enough justification for like why some higher powers like these girls just don't get it. We got to keep swapping their
Well,
bodies
clearly
around
they have to learn a lesson. And I would like to
again.
add, you named a lot of actors who are returning to their roles. And I think most importantly is the fact that Stephen Tobolowsky is back.
Who did he play in the first movie?
One of Lindsay Lohan's teachers who did not treat her well because of experiences that he had prior with Jamie Lee's character when she was younger.
Got it. Okay. Well, I'm not against Stephen Tobolowsky doing his thing.
If he is a value add in anything, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
Agreed.
he's like a nerdy
Yes.
Stanley Tucci.
So good. Perfect.
All right. Well, Freakier Friday arrives in theaters August 8th this summer. So get ready.
Woo.
I don't necessarily think that's gonna make like ducats of money, but at the same time, it's like, what if it did? What if it makes like just a shit ton of money? You're like,
I could
wow.
see a world where it does very well.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine it was an expensive movie to
Yeah,
make,
that
so
exactly.
you know.
But we'll see. I mean, we got Maxwell. I mean, the Summer Gamble's coming up pretty soon, so
Listen, that could be a good dark horse
he
choice.
could be a great dark horse choice.
You have my mind going.
It's something to think about. All right, let's move on. Let's get to our main review for Disney's Snow White.
My parents always said this forest was a magical place.
Hello? there anybody here? What did you think I was?
Nothing.
Ghost.
You'll be safe from the Queen here.
The Queen stole everything from all of us.
I'm gonna need your help.
It's time to restore our kingdom.
All right, that should have been some of the trailer for Snow White. This Disney remake of the 1937 original, their first feature-length animated film, has been in the works since Jungle Book became a big hit. Filming eventually took place in 2022, and yet the production was placed under a lot of scrutiny, resulting in controversies ranging from trivial to just plain dumb. We can talk about why later, but the film tells the familiar story of a young princess finding herself alone in the woods after being deemed the fairest of them all by an evil queen's magic mirror. As a result, Snow White finds herself befriending seven dwarfs, as well as a rebellious young man, while the queen continues to plot against her. Maxwell, I'd like to know, are you a fan of the original Snow White story / animated film? And what'd you think of this Disney live action remake of it?
I will say I have a lot of admiration for the original film because of how groundbreaking it was and how it really, you know, set up Walt Disney and his animation company for their, you know, incredible success to follow for films. But in terms of the classic Disney animated films, it's not great. The animation's gorgeous. The story is really thin and Snow White, and this is something that Rachel Zegler herself said, she's a waif. She doesn't do anything. She has no agency. So yes and no for the original. I like the original Grimm fairy tale, and I think there have been some interesting adaptations of that over the years. Lord knows we've got our fair share of Snow White adaptations, not by Disney. Yeah.
What did you think of this film?
I thought it was terrible for the most part. You know, I think some things are good. I think Rachel Zegler is wonderful, and she does her very best to hold the seams together. I think Andrew Burnap, who plays Jonathan, I guess his name is, was very charming. I'll say some more about him later. Pretty much everything else I did not care for, and I found myself rolling my eyes and in a few cases laughing at the screen, which I know is never what a filmmaker intends. So it was rough. It was a rough one for me.
Okay, well, Amber, let's go to you. What are your thoughts on Snow White, and what do you think of this this new interpretation of it?
So first off, let me just say I am a Disney kid, and I have been a really big fan of, like, I wanted to be a Disney princess so badly that I worked at Disney World. Like, this is not a joke. Snow White was probably my least favorite movie alongside Pinocchio of the animated set for most of my life, for my own reasons, but for the same reasons why Maxwell referenced Rachel Zegler. I felt like she was a waif. I wanted her to take more agency in her life. And I understand, you know, it was made when it was made, and that's perfectly fine. It was made when it was made and by who it was made by. That being said, I probably am a little bit more friendly to this version, but I still thought it was bad. I think Rachel Zegler is absolutely fantastic, and she's going to make anything she touches look better. And I loved Andrew Burnap as Jonathan. I thought he was very fun. I felt like the CGI was a mess. I didn't mind the animals, but I could not look at the dwarfs without wanting to break down and cry, because I love some of the people playing the dwarfs, and I was like, no, what are you doing? It's not their fault, obviously. Their performances were probably just fine, and a lot of them did their own mocap. Perfect. The music was something.
That was a lot of fun.
I had to think about what exactly I was going to say there. I had heard like her wishing song. Like I was never a fan of the original music, and I like Pasek and Paul a lot, being a theater kid. But I think my problem is that it didn't feel like it fleshed out the story. It didn't feel like it had much of a point. And some of it was just like, okay, we're gonna invent this cute little love story. There was maybe one song that I knew from the original, and it was the one, or two, I'm sorry, two, like Whistle While You Work and Hi Ho. And I was like, oh, good. We also got like a whole part of the movie that was dedicated, it seemed, to the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train in Magic Kingdom. So that was fun. Otherwise, I would not see that again. It hurt me. I'm not even talking about Gal Gadot yet.
All right, so slightly mixed on both of you so far here. Let me look at my thoughts here on Snow White. As far as the original goes, I do like the film. Like, I can agree as far as, sure, it's made at a certain time, it's telling a certain kind of story made by certain people that, yes, limits what Snow White's actions actually are. But in terms of just animation history, and I don't think you're not, you neither of you are not admiring what it has to offer, but I still, even though yes, it's not, I would doubt it's even in my top 10 of like animated Disney films, even from that era. I still think it's very effective in what it's, how it's made and how it's put together. There's just a lot to admire in from that respect. Regardless, yes, I think the movie is very good without blowing me away in any sense, to the point where seeing newer editions of Snow White doesn't bother me because I'm like, yeah, all right, that's a story you can kind of keep going, and they certainly have in varying ways. Like Mirror Mirror and Snow White and the Huntsman are both at least interesting, if not, all that. I know Mirror Mirror is more fun, and Snow White and the Huntsman's like, oh, that's depressing, but at least it looks nice. So like when Disney was like, we're doing Snow White, it's like, oh boy, again. We haven't told this one. My reaction is not too dissimilar from your guys's. I think it's very dull. Much like many of these live action remakes, there's just it's not it's certainly not for a lack of effort. Like I can't watch one of these movies and feel like director Mark Webb was like, I don't care. At the same time, it's just another example of like you get a lot of presumably talented people together to make this thing, and the results just seem so it they don't just seem like bad, they seem so obviously not great. Like I look at this and just think, are they all watching this movie and think we did a great job on this? It's because I don't get this. It just, I don't want to say soulless because that just seems too mean, but it's like, it's not far from that feeling I get when you look at this and you're saying to yourself, okay, so I can either watch this movie or I can watch the other one. Like, why would you ever choose this movie? Like, it just doesn't do anything for me. I can agree Zegler is very good here. She's doing Herculean work and trying to like hold this thing together. It's not surprising because yes, good singer sing good, and she's already proven herself as an actress as well. So it's like, yeah, all right, just she's able to do the things that we know she can do already. Good job. We'll talk more about Godot in a bit, but I will say I'm not gonna say she's good in this movie, but at the same time, I didn't look at her and be like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. It's like it's not we should talk more about what she's brought to movies because I do think she has limits, and this one's not cashing in on the things that she's good at doing, but it's not great here either. And giving her a song didn't help anything.
No.
The rest of this, I mean, I was at first kind of happy. It was like, oh, there's colors, and I'm like, oh, it's just the costumes. Oh, and the costumes are bad. And I'm like, oh, well, there goes the visual aspect of this thing, because the castle and everything still looks, it's got that Disney drabness to it where it's like, why? Why did we stop doing color in movies? I don't understand this. The dwarves, I am not against the look of the dwarves because it just doesn't bother me. I'm just looking, it's like, all right, they made CG dwarves that look like those dwarves, I guess. It doesn't hit me as this like nightmare fuel that it seems like a lot of people are looking at it with. So like I was mostly fine with the dwarves up until a certain point when they decided that a certain dwarf needed like more character development, and I'm just sitting there being like, wipe that stupid baby face off his face and tell him to shut up because I don't need any of this stuff in my movie. Not a fan of the dwarf development here. And like you Amber, you were mentioning like the
Development.
songs, the addition of more, it's just another example of like, you have these animated films that are 75, 80 minutes, and you look at this and it's like an hour and 50, and you're like, why? And then you look at the songs and the nonsense other things they add to it, and it's like, God, this is why animation works so well. It's so efficient. It doesn't have time to waste. They can just get to the point. This movie's like, let's have like multiple songs and new stuff for Jonathan to do. And I'm like, I do not care. Let me do anything else.
Which,
Spend more
you know,
time on
on
this.
paper, if the songs were good or the stuff these new characters had to do was interesting, okay, justify it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be down on all of these Disney live action remakes. In fact, I would argue maybe I like them as a whole, maybe more than some who are very down on all of them. This one was just rough.
I would say this one, it's closest to Cinderella in terms of like the tone it's going for, but Cinderella's leagues better than this
Oh,
movie.
Cinderella is my favorite of them all.
Yeah,
Still,
it's
I
in my
think what
top
Kenneth
three at
Branagh did
least.
with that was wonderful.
I wish I could concur, but I haven't seen it. My favorite one right now is still The Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid was pretty
But
good. I didn't mind it. It's better
yeah,
than
you didn't
this.
mind it. Yeah,
It's
no,
better than
yeah.
this.
I was like, and I just want to know if Gal Gadot is like going to another multiverse to fight like as a superhero or something, because I'm really, really confused by most of that ending.
So,
What? Nope.
so let's talk about Godot for a second. So he plays the evil queen. The role, I mean, the role's not doing her any favors, right? Because it's for one thing, it's very thin. It's
Very.
so there's not a lot there to begin with, and you don't have Godot on to be like, oh, good, she can bring the nuance this character needs because she has a range. Like, I don't think she's a terrible actress, but at the same, because you can't get to this point in your life, in your career, and be like, obviously she has no talent. Clearly she has some talent. She's shown it. Wonder Woman is a good
Yes.
movie. Or even, even I'd argue her work in the Fast and Furious films exhibit her well as far as what she's able to do in them. I
Agreed.
think the problem is she hasn't found other filmmakers that seem to like get what she's good at. And so we just haven't seen a lot of good war. She seems like in the same zone that like Keanu was in like early 90s when he's trying to like find himself as an actor, that like in between like some of the indie stuff he was doing, but before he got to like Devil's Advocate and like Matrix, where he like found his zone. So right now it seems like we're waiting for Godot to find herself
Womp womp.
like what she's really going to be good at, because she's not going to be Wonder Woman anymore. It's like, well, what else is there for her? And I don't know right now.
Yeah.
It's
I
rough.
agree. I think especially in that first Wonder Woman, she does the job well. And in the Fast movies, she's fine, you know. She looks attractive and shoots her gun. In fact, I would think other than Wonder Woman, her best film work was her voice work in Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Sure.
Oh yeah, she did do
But
that, didn't she?
she did. But in this movie, I thought, you know, I said earlier I was laughing at the movie. I was laughing at her. I think the notion of making this very thin villain character campy is the right notion. And I think there are other actors who could have done what Gal was trying to do really well. Like after the movie, Amber and I were saying, imagine if Idina Menzel played that part, for example. I think she could have brought so much more to it, but I just think Gal's range is so limited. She cannot sing, and her level of emoting is limited that some of her like screaming and anger, it just felt so hollow and untrue to me that I like couldn't help but laugh because it just didn't work.
Soulless is a good word.
Yeah, I just don't think there's
Soulless.
anything there. And the costumes, especially her costumes, were hideous.
Right?
Just hideous.
Like
Like, I don't know what they were thinking.
friend of the show, Terrence Johnson, co-host of Two Black Guys, Godzilla. That's what he texted me. He texted me, he's like, those costumes were atrocious. And
Like, even
I texted back to him, oh, you stayed awake to see the costumes?
even Rachel's Snow White costume, which she wears for most of the movie, has the right colors. Doesn't look very good. It looked
It doesn't.
like you could go buy that exact costume at, well, rest in peace, Party City, Target in October, right? Like, I don't know. And I the at the very least, the costumes in this should have been a home run.
It like
And
it seems like we're being petty by going on cot, but it's like that's the problem with a movie like this. If you're gonna spend upwards of $250 million on a Snow White
yep.
remake, the thing you shouldn't get wrong is costuming. Like
Yep.
that's it's ban it's bananas. Like
It
that.
felt like, oh no, go, sorry.
No, yo, please.
It honestly felt like they were trying to redo Enchanted rather than trying to remake Snow White. And like, I even down to like the animals and the costumes and everything, it just felt very garish and kind of like, this is not the Snow White I'm supposed to want to watch.
That's the other problem with this. It doesn't really have an identity to itself beyond just being Disney princess movie. It's okay, so it's updated for 2025. Fine. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's at this point not an original thing to do because we've had several other princess movies that have updated themselves to modern standards where the female has more agency and what have you. So it's like, okay, you're not missing anything there because we've done that before. You're also not taking a particular tone with this that's challenging in any way. You're not doing Enchanted or Princess Bride where there's like a satirical element that's still fun for kids in there. So instead, you're just left with this very whatever story that wants to celebrate the independence of women. Like, great, but like, what else did you accomplish if you have a bad looking movie with not the best performances and what most people think is unseasonably bad CG character creations to represent the fantasy? What did we accomplish? What did we get out of this?
I agree with everything you're saying, and I also wanted to touch on, you mentioned like how drab and dark the castle looks at times, and like I agree with you, and I also think it's such like an obvious cliched move to like drastically alter the color grading of the castle based on who is holding the throne at that time. Like that is like filmmaking like 101, but it's been done so many times that it doesn't look good. The castle when Gal was in charge looked like a cut scene from like Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets on the PS2, right? You know, and then, oh, Snow White's here. Look, the sun's out. And okay, that doesn't look so bad, but it's like try something different. You know, I think tonally, this actually has a lot in common with Mark Webb's Spider-Man movies. There's like an inherent level of cheese that just doesn't quite work for me.
I can accept that about the first one. I am a bigger fan of the second one because it does make
Fair
choice. It makes
enough. It does.
choices that I
It does make
appreciate.
choices, yes. And I don't dislike those movies. I'm just saying what I think was okay in those doesn't quite work here. It's so cheesy.
Well, no, I see, but I agree with you specifically about the first one because that's another one that's it just feels like generic superhero movie. There's a big blue beam in the sky. There's Monster of the Week villain. Like obviously the chemistry between the actors work because yes, that's the one thing that they got really right. But otherwise, it's a lot of Mad Libs as far as planning things inside that you've seen before, and that's what this movie is. It's a lot of Disney princess movie, and it's.
It's interesting that Amber brought up Enchanted because the more I think about it, the more this feels exactly like the movie Enchanted was making fun of.
Yes.
20 almost 20 years later.
Well, and because Enchanted was literally lifted directly off of Snow White, save for the falling in the well and ending up in the real world. And like even down to the fact that we said Idina would have been a better Wicked Witch, like, or Evil Queen. Like, come on, man. Like, it's
Well, she did play the Wicked Witch as well,
yes, she did. And I mean, well, yeah. And I was also thinking of that comparison. Having watched Wicked in the last year and seeing a well-made movie musical, this was not it. The costumes were awful. Somebody hire Paul Tazwell. Like, what are you doing? And like, and you're trying to force feed me, a Disney fan, this? Like, come on, you can do better. You can do way better. And Zegler deserved better, in my opinion.
Let's talk about Zegler a bit just because we should say positive things for a little while.
Yes.
She does put her all into this, even with that haircut that somehow makes her the fairest of them all.
Well, the fairest is from the inside. Beauty, true beauty's on the inside.
Yeah, we could, that's a fun excuse to make.
The haircut, the ha no, the haircut is not, the haircut's not great. I agree.
It's not it, but honestly, like I said, I'm not a fan of the original design of Snow White anyway. So I'm like, she has that same haircut in that original movie too. So I'm like, oh,
This
okay.
movie does justify it by like she
Yes.
it's a purposeful haircut, which I found pretty amusing because it's like even the movie gets that Snow White is her classic haircut is ridiculous, and they're like, okay, we'll make it because it's because the Evil
I
Queen made
mean, this costume designer won the Oscar for Shakespeare in Love The Aviator, The Young Victoria. She did Hugo. She did Cinderella. She did Carol. She did The Favorite. She's a great costume designer. So who the fuck, excuse my language, misguided her on this one?
I think I
Like,
part of it I think has to do with
oof.
like cinematography and direction. Like
Yeah, no, I,
I think if
yeah.
lighting's different, or if there's not this like the same Disney filter that gets applied to so many of their films in a distracting
Right.
way these days,
Yeah.
you might be able to just like shade it differently so you don't mind. Like I've seen stills of this movie where the costumes look pretty decent because of the lighting
Yeah.
and whatnot. Where watching this in action, it's like, what happened? Like, what's going on?
But
Get back
anyways,
to Ziegler.
back to Rachel Zegler. I have been a fan of her since West Side Story. I think she has this incredibly charismatic innocence to her,
Sure.
which is why she keeps getting cast in these ingenue roles. Although I didn't love the production itself, we were lucky enough to see her on Broadway in Romeo and Juliet late last year, and she was the best part of that too. She can act, she can sing, she's funny too. Like, there's the only times I laughed in this movie was at certain things she did, and I will say, I thought her and Andrew Belknap had really adorable chemistry.
Yes.
My favorite parts of the movie were when the two of them were interacting and getting to know each other.
I actually liked the song they sang.
It was okay. It was cute.
I thought it was cute,
I can
yeah.
agree with this. I can agree with that their sections worked well enough for what they were doing. It didn't feel like obviously it's a matter of we're introducing this the not the prince character differently, and we're having a different kind of setup for their romantic entanglements or eventual romantic entanglements, but like
Yeah, I
making it so
mean,
she has more, control over the situation, what have you.
I'm not sure that they needed to get rid of the prince and basically just shove Flynn Rider into this story, which is essentially who the character is. But you told
Yeah.
us to be a little positive, so I did like them together. And I think Andrew's very charming.
Is he a theater guy?
Actually,
Like, I don't know this guy.
yeah,
I assume he
so
is.
they won their Tonys together. The show that I won my Tony for, The
Oh.
Inheritance, he won the Tony for Best Lead Actor in a Play.
Look
He is
at this.
actually he's actually now starring with Denzel and Jake Gyllenhaal in Othello on Broadway. He's a Yale School of Drama trained guy, and he did the revival of Camelot. I don't know if that was last year or 2 years ago. So yeah, he is a theater guy, and I hope and think that despite anything else about this movie, this can be a nice launching pad for him because he's cute,
He
charming,
deserves it.
charismatic. He has a good voice. I think he could have a nice film career ahead of him. So it's a decent showcase for him. But yeah, he's a theater guy.
Yeah. Well,
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad we're getting, a lot more room for 30 something white guys for movies. That's really
Yes,
helpful for
there's not enough of
the
them.
Yeah. I do agree with you. I do think he's effective enough with what's given to him. And he's in Othello right now. That's that famously not expensive play that you can see. Is that what's
Yeah, so
Yeah,
cheap.
very
Like,
like they
you
do
can walk
Groupons
right
for
in.
it,
They're like,
right?
we'll take this penny and you go in.
It's two
No.
for one Groupons, right? They get that going.
Yeah. If you can make it to New York, we'll go on our Groupon.
Okay, I'll hold you to
they actually
that.
strap you to a roof across the street and give you opera glasses and say good luck with the Groupon, but
Let's talk about the dwarves a bit. I
Oh.
have less reservations, it seems. What were your thoughts on these dwarves?
I okay. Like design conception, I sort of see what they were going for.
Sure.
But similar to the castle, they just felt unfinished to me. So they had this very weird, sort of cartoony, sort of photoreal feeling that reminded me very much of the horrors of the Polar Express.
Uncanny Valley dwarfs.
Yeah, Uncanny Valley. And it's just one of those things where I felt like they were trying to have their cake and eat it too, and it just scared me. Like Dopey, who I actually think they do a decent job with the character, he looks horrifying. Like I'm sure I'm gonna wake up tonight at like 3 in the morning and Dopey is gonna be holding that diamond dagger to my throat.
I
The
I'm going
numerous
to
times he actually said this to me during the movie.
I want to personally make that happen because of how much I hated Dopey in this movie. I have nothing against what's his name, Andrew Bartholman, who voices
Yeah.
Dopey. But the
He's
fact that I have
great.
to, but the fact that I have to say voice is dopey is already my problem with dopey. I don't like
Yeah.
this at all. I don't know what the solve. Well, the solve is just don't do it.
Well,
But I just, I can't get behind this.
I'm familiar with Andrew Barth Feldman. He's also a theater kid. We've seen him do like cabaret shows in a 70 th theater, and the opening narration is happening. And I turn to Amber and I'm like, I think that's Andrew. I think that's fucking dopey. Why is dopey narr why?
And I
How
was
is
like,
that?
I think we're gonna see it. I think it's gonna happen. It's coming for us.
Oh yeah,
And it did.
it did, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, get that baby face of yours off the screen right now. I can't deal with this. Just make it
Yeah.
Doc. Just make it simple. Make it Doc. Make him be
It
the
wasn't. Although
guy.
I didn't really like Doc's voice.
I would agree. I would. It's a, what Jeremy Swift from Ted Lasso.
From
He's
Ted
Doc,
Lasso,
and
yeah.
I would say no. It
No,
wasn't a highlight for me, but at the same time, it's like just make it make sense to me. I don't need Dopey to be like this courageous. Find his
yeah.
voice type character as if
If
we're
we
like
do
stating
want to.
ourselves.
If we do want to talk about a voice that's a highlight, Patrick Page is the Magic Mirror.
Mirror,
I
yeah, Mirror
mean,
gets it right.
that's his voice. That's what he does. He's done it on Broadway forever. He was like Green Goblin in the ill-fated Spider-Man musical. He was Hades in Hadestown.
And
He
he will be
did.
Hades with the cane in the pro shot.
Yes, he was Frollo in Hunchback. So he is a great,
Phenomenal.
great, deep voice. So great casting there. He did a great job.
Great.
To come back to the dwarves for a second. What's
Yeah,
so?
sorry.
No, you're fine. What's the solve for this? Because I've you know obviously the you know one thought is they why couldn't they do little people actors and you know without having the CG and
They
I.
did for one of the bandits. I don't understand why they couldn't have done that for the dwarves.
If I'm not.
Would you say you'd prefer that?
It would be less uncanny.
It's interesting, right? Because if I'm not mistaken, it was Peter Dinklage who spoke about this a little bit. And on its face, there is something potentially problematic about
Yes.
casting little people as dwarves,
Yes.
right?
Fair.
So, why, you know, I don't know what the fix is, but this wasn't it.
I mean, I
And
think the fix
you
is
could.
just this, but doing it better. I think that's what the
Yeah, I mean,
fix is.
I think,
Yeah.
you know,
It's just
then I
weird
look.
that it's weird that the studio that has like infinite money can't get, you know, they and like, you know, ILM on the red phone that they can just call up anytime they want to. I don't know why this is the problem they have, not making the dwarves look not just
You
good
know, and
or whatever, but spectacular.
obviously it was a long time ago, but I enjoy all of the Narnia movies we got, and Mr. Dinklage did play a dwarf in that, and I thought he looked and was very good. And of course, his opinion can change, so I'm not like in any way calling him to task or saying I disagree
No.
with him, but you know, I think there were other ways they could have done it, and even if it was just better design, more, you know.
Pay
We've
your
seen,
animators? I don't know. That could be one of them.
like we shouldn't look back at Pirates of the Caribbean, the
Dead
second
Man's Chest.
one, Dead Man's Chest. I was gonna call it Davy Jones's Locker. That's not right. And look at Davy Jones,
Still looks the
and that
best.
thing looks unreal. It's
Yeah.
incredible. Or even Gollum in Two Towers.
Yeah.
So these mocap animated magical characters can be done well, and I just don't understand what this was.
Yeah. That's why it's alarming when I see this is one of the most expensive films of all time. It's like, where did this money
Where
go?
did the money? Because like
What are we spending it on?
the sets are not that grand, right? There's like three or four sets, period. You know, yeah, the opening musical number had a lot of dancing extras, but so did Wicked, and that didn't cost as much. And they made two goddamn movies. I
Yeah,
mean,
I guess the question that I have here is, were you not paying your animators, and were you overpaying your actors?
I mean,
Well,
even the actors, there's only like three actors in here as far as on screen that matter, right? I mean, everything else is mostly voices and like what the Huntsman as well.
well, a lot of the dwarfs did their own mocap.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, commanding $5 million to be dwarves and
Fair.
mocap. They're being
You
paid
know,
scale, I would assume.
I do wonder
Oh.
how much the reshoots cost them.
even then, it's like they can't, like, I mean, obviously they had to spend on
Unless
something,
unless
but
they had to like rebuild everything, and I don't know.
which I would doubt, especially in the age of the volume that we live in.
Like if you, what I will say is, if you showed this movie to me and I had no knowledge of the budget, I would say 70 to 80 million.
Yeah. Which is what, like, Cinderella cost. It was a
Yeah.
cheaper one.
Yeah.
And it looks better. It's a better
It
looking
does.
movie.
It sure, especially the costumes.
I mean,
And it
because
was the same lady.
yeah. And it's like, this isn't a COVID movie. It wasn't a strike movie. So, I mean, there's no, like, additional variable funds. I don't know. And we're not accountants, so we don't need to know
No.
what the
No,
reasoning
I'm
is.
awful at math, in fact.
Also,
You
just
know,
know, not to throw Dinklage under any kind of, but for one thing, it's like 3 years ago when he said this thing. But also, he did just star in a movie about Munchkins that made a shit ton of money. I mean, I don't know. But
Well, thankfully, those munchkins are actual, like, normal-sized people.
I think that the difficulty that he and anyone or anyone's entitled to is, it's something I would agree with as far as why you would do it this way as opposed to hiring little people actors to play the roles is children are expressly the ones that are going to see Snow White. And I would understand if someone doesn't want children to be associating any little person they see in real life and call them dwarf, right? That's
Yeah,
going to be
I
the result.
totally,
That's fair.
totally. I just can't help but feel that there was a better approach to it that may that, you know, wasn't problematic but didn't look horrifying.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, like the mine cart scene, for example, which Amber alluded to, felt very much like inspired by the theme park attraction, which is a very good attraction. It's hideous. Everything about it looked awful to me.
I was about to ask, did you at least enjoy the shenanigans that the dwarves, like their songs, their scenes?
I thought
I
it was
thought
fine.
I did like Whistle While You Work in so much as I could get past the appearance of the dwarves. I thought that was one of Zegler's highlights, and it was somewhat charming. But again, you know, they're dancing around and they look so weird and ugly. I'm like, I can't fully get into this as much as I wish I could.
A friend of ours made this point earlier when we were kind of discussing it via text, and she said, like, I was able to put it aside, and once I made my peace with it, I was able to watch it. And that's kind of how I felt. Once I just stopped worrying so hard about it, I was like, well, it's a movie. I'm gonna watch the movie. And I had more fun with the dwarfs once that was done.
Yeah, and
It just
like
horror for a little while.
that's where I lit. Like, again, I didn't have that to begin with, like, for whatever reason. Maybe I was just expecting it to be looking the way it did already, so I wasn't caring. Because I know what you mean
Fair.
when you compare it to like Polar Express, where that's still a movie that I can't really get behind in the way others do, because yes, I frankly just don't like the look of it. As I even, Zemeckis got better because I love Beowulf, and
Yeah, Beowulf is good.
I think Christmas Carol is the best looking of those movies. I don't necessarily
Yep.
love that movie, but I think it's technically pretty astounding what he's doing by the time he got there. But this is like, all right, like, yeah, that's what we went with, I guess. I don't have anything else to offer that, but
Excuse
okay.
me.
My just
Well, and
again, my issue is just that fucking Dopey. I don't care.
he
Oh,
like blows your mind. You're like, oh. Oh. Dopey was by far the worst, creepiest looking of the
That's
characters.
probably the problem with it. It's not just that he like has this weird arc where it's like, I found my voice and I'm not like a simpleton anymore. It's also that he looks like he looks like, have you seen the trailer for Harmony Korine's new movie?
Yes,
It
it
looks like
does.
that, where
Yep.
like it's like grown up soldiers, but they all have baby faces. That's
Yep.
what I got out of the Dopey they presented with me here.
They were like, you're going to fear him for the rest of your life. So.
Also, you know, for what it's worth, I didn't think the animals looked all that good either.
I would agree. I would say
You know, I think.
I was trying to give it the benefit of the doubt that it was heightened for the sake of the fact that it's a
Yeah,
fantasy.
I was gonna say, you know, I see a world where Mark Webb and his team were like, let's lean into the fact that this was based on an animated movie and be somewhat stylized in our animals and our dwarves, but it just came off as looking cheap.
Yeah, because they're just not like the fact that this is the March Disney live action release while Lilo and Stitch is the summer one. It like I feel like it shows as far as where the attention goes budget wise. Because yeah, it does feel like it's coming up lacking specifically because we're probably shifting priorities around as far as which ones we want to like fill in all the gaps on as far as how the animation goes. Which again is wild when you consider this is the most one of the most expensive movies of all time. It's like, what? What's happening? How does money work?
I need some of their accountants to like take a look back at those books. Like, what is happening here?
As far as the animals go, refresh me. What did you guys feel on Mufasa?
Surprisingly, I liked it. I hated The Lion King.
I agree with you. Yes.
And was surprised by how much I enjoyed Mufasa. The songs were good, but mostly I thought under the helm of Barry Jenkins, the animals actually emoted.
Yeah,
they made
the very conscious choice of giving them, expressive faces as opposed to the first one, which is like, what if we didn't do that and it was not fun?
Yeah, yeah. So I was pleasantly surprised by Mufasa for sure.
And again, that's one where I assume because it was a sequel to one of the biggest hits they've ever had, that's also coming out on Christmas. They wanted to put as much money as they could into it so it would look as good as it probably could, because it's a good looking, even if you don't like Mufasa, and I'm sure there's plenty of people that don't. It still looks good for what it's doing. Where this, what happened? It's annoying that Disney has variables in quality of production these days. Like, this should be the studio that unquestionably delivers every single time. And it's like, why is this where we are?
Yeah,
I'm really glad you can't see the face I'm making.
It's even a case of, okay, the director is not as good, but that's why you have producers and the whole Disney machine behind you to be like, mm-hmm. okay, we need to make this look better.
Yeah. And it's doubly annoying because if you're going to remake Snow, if you're going to remake any of these, like, the concept of that is not inherently bad. Again, there's been, like you just mentioned, Mufasa, like there's good versions of this, and there's, it's not impossible to remake something and make it good. I've seen plenty of good remakes. I have nothing against remakes. I only hate bad movies.
Right.
This, if you're going to do this thing with these Disney movies that were made, with under ambitious means and to the point of costing the company money, like Pinocchio and Fantasia famously nearly bankrupted Disney. Like, I want to see something that maybe even somewhat measures up to the idea of, we're not just doing this, we're going to like really put something special into it. And there's just nothing special here, which is just sad. Yeah.
There's no, I know it's such like an intangible, but there's no Disney magic in this one.
Oh.
Yeah.
And like, I also, go ahead.
Like, I think we made a comparison to Wish, actually. Because it was another one that felt half formed, like they took it out of the oven way too early. And like another disservice done to a West Side Story girl.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was like, why do these West Side Story girls get bad Disney movies? I almost wonder if, to an extent, the Mark Platt and Jared Leboff, the producers, were so preoccupied with Wicked that they took their eye off this one.
Possibly.
I don't know. That's pure speculation. Don't quote me on that. But
well,
who even knows?
This movie only made 43 million. I say only, as if some movies could love to make $43 million, but it did only make $43 million, which is fairly low for these Disney remakes. It got a B+ cinema score, which again, that might seem fine, but if the writing is a little bit on the walls when you consider most of these movies make more money and they've all gotten A's, audiences might be realizing, hey, maybe this is not the direction we should continue going with this. Now, we're also towards the, yes, there's many Disney films, but there's only so many you can actually really do this to still. So like, it's not, we're going to get a ton more of these. However, where do you think these things go? We have Lilo and Stitch coming out in the summer. What?
Well, I think that if they want to continue doing this, Lilo and Stitch should be the model. And I mean, take some of the, like for me, a Disney animated film that could make a great live action movie is Atlantis. Because I think there is room to expand it and grow it and not have to shove it full of new musical numbers, right? Take some of their films that maybe weren't huge hits or weren't beloved or aren't regarded as, groundbreaking classics like the original Snow White is, say what you will about the material within, and mm-hmm. then you give the filmmakers freedom to really try something and put their stamp on it. I also just wish Disney would go back to making like sports movies about a bunch of ragtag kids who beat the bullies.
Yeah.
Spend $20 million, hire some funny kids, and put these movies in theaters.
I'd certainly like that. To your original point, I could agree with you as far as something like Atlantis or what have you. The problem is, it's not like 2006 when they wanted to take risks like that. Like
I know.
nowadays, it's like, yeah, Atlantis was not a hit when it came out. And if these movie, if Snow White is somehow costing $250 million to make, a steampunk Atlantis movie is probably not going to be cheap either.
Yeah, but imagine if they hired Gore Verbinski to make an Atlantis movie. Like, come on,
Yeah,
guys.
so like, imagine if they hired the guy who famously made some of the most expensive movies of all time.
Yeah, but they were good and they
They
look
were, yes, they
great.
were. Yeah.
I like all three of the original Pirates movies and they look fantastic. So at least you know where the money's going.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me wonder what the cocaine budget on Snow White was.
Made a
Hopefully
lot
it was
more while they
actually Snow
worked.
White.
Dear Disney lawyers, that was a joke.
Well, we do have Lilo and Stitch coming. Moana's still apparently a thing.
Oh.
And you can only assume that Frozen will be made eventually because that's just money on the table.
I yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
I do I
regardless of
do
how it's good it's going to be, you know
I
that's what
do
they'll do.
I do think Lilo and Stitch looks pretty good. I like the director a lot. I think he's a smart. So we'll see there.
Who's
I'll
directing
give
Lilo and Stitch?
the guy who directed Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Oh, I did not know. I forgot. Either I forgot this or whatever, but
And I
that's.
think that is a really smart choice.
I'm suddenly interested in Lilo and Stitch now.
Yeah.
Dean Fleischer.
So
Yeah,
honestly,
okay.
it looks
Sure.
really great. And every time I get my hopes up for something, it disappoints me, Snow White. So I'm just like, okay, well, we're just gonna go in and hope, and then if it impresses me, yay. If it doesn't, yay. And then I can move on with my life.
I wasn't against Lilo and Stitch, but man, this really turned me around on this. I'm really I'm some suddenly no,
It's a fan favorite in this house, so like
I'm
we're
pretty happy about this, the fact that this is who's directing it.
yeah, right? I remember when they announced
Exactly.
that, I was like, finally, a filmmaker that makes sense to adapt this material.
Okay, well,
Agreed.
I am happy that they've only done it with like posters so far, but like I kept saying from the get-go, like if you're gonna remake Lilo and Stitch, you better remake the marketing campaign where it like
Oh,
invades
yeah.
other movies because that's
Oh,
fun.
yeah. So fun. It's a shame that they didn't have a Snow White one.
Yes.
Even if
Oh.
it did, was there one? I feel like there was a
There was
Mufasa one.
one, I think there was one commercial, and I think it might have aired for the Super Bowl,
They did a Super
maybe?
Bowl
Maybe.
thing, and they've certainly had posters that have been messing around with
Which
stuff, but.
I like the
Oh, yeah, and those are
Posters,
great. I love them.
but no, there was a
If
Super Bowl thing. You're not wrong.
I
Oy.
also want them to re-toilet paper the castle at Magic Kingdom, because why the hell not?
Yeah,
That did happen during that marketing campaign,
I
and it was
recall.
wonderful.
Yeah.
Disney nerd moments, yay.
Any other thoughts on Snow White?
Not real. I hate being negative, so not really.
Fair
Yeah, it
enough.
made me sad.
All right. Well, Snow White's currently playing in theaters. Why don't you people go and see this movie? Max, why don't you people see Snow White?
Don't.
I'm so sorry.
Right. Amber?
I mean, listen, if you're already paying for a
Okay.
Disney Plus subscription, when it eventually makes it there and you have nothing else to do, okay, press play, but don't.
You may be our friend who stood up and applauded at the end. You never know, guys. Don't take our words for it. See it for yourself.
Amber, when did you people see this movie?
Wait till Disney Plus gets it. And then that's that.
I think this would be appropriate for if you are at a friend's birthday party for their child and they're like, "We're watching Snow White," you can sit down and be like, "All right, I'll watch this finally."
I was just reminded, I think my favorite part of this movie was when Gal's song started and some guy in the back of the theater went, ugh.
I did kind of
Yeah.
do that in my mind. I'm like, oh, here we go, a villain song. And then let's see how this is going to sound. And then I'm like,
That guy was not quiet about his feelings.
I did a lot of like the gif of the guy blinking a lot. That's what I was doing in
Yeah,
my mind.
totally fair.
All
He's
right.
like,
Well,
oh no.
that's our review of a Snow White. Let's move on now. Let's get to it's actually some time for some games here.
Games.
That is, of course, the improv theme for games. And I have a game for you two this week. It is called Whistle While You Work. In this game, I'm going to say similarly sing song titles that sound like Whistle While You Work, and you have to guess what movie I'm referring to based on the small series of words I'm going to say in sing song style. Here's
Okay.
if you think you know the answer, say your name, then the answer. Okay, here we go. Here's the first one. Convenience While He Clerks.
Burr?
Amber.
Is it Clerks?
The answer is Clerks. Yes, it was not a trick question. It's just Clerks. You're on the board. It means you get to come back to the podcast
Game.
someday.
I thought of that and I was like, that's too obvious.
No, it
Nope.
really isn't.
I'm not gonna over.
Don't worry. They ramp up.
Okay.
here's the next one. Poetry is what he'll teach.
Maxwell.
Maxwell.
Dead Poet Society?
Dead Poet Society is the correct answer. You're on the board.
Yay.
Here's the next one.
Yay.
An agent who's in sports.
Maxwell.
Maxwell.
Would the film be Jerry Maguire?
Jerry Maguire is the correct answer. There
I'm
you
like a skosh behind you on everyone. I'm like,
go.
I'm sorry.
Here's the next
It's
one.
okay.
Here's the next one. This cop has left Detroit.
Oh,
Maxwell.
Maxwell.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop is the correct answer. Here's the next one. Food trucks where he cooks.
Amber?
Amber.
Chef?
Chef is the correct answer. Way to
Yes!
go. Way to go, babe.
Thank you. Well, I walk by the Blu Ray every day.
Here's the next one. Stock trading for this jerk.
Maxwell.
Maxwell.
The Wolf of Wall
Wolf of
Street.
Wall Street is the
This may be the pinnacle of Out and Out's games. This is
answer.
really a terrific game.
Okay, well, here's
I love
the
it.
last one. The salesman needs new leads.
Oh.
Maxwell.
Glengarry Glenn
It is
Ross.
Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Also now on Broadway, starring
Yeah,
Kieran
with
Culkin.
and Bill,
Oscar
who's
winner
Bill Burr
Kieran
playing?
Culkin.
Bill Burr. Oh my God. I'm not off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Like the Ed Harris
I can
character?
look. Oh my God, that's
It up
all right.
after the
Let me
game.
look.
We'll keep going. Let's keep going.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This writer and his twin.
Maxwell.
Maxwell.
Adaptation.
Adaptation's the correct answer. Here's the next one. High fashion leading to stress.
Amber.
Amber.
The Devil Wears Prada.
The Devil Wears Prada. Prada is the
Prada.
correct answer.
And yes,
No, that's
Heath
Keith.
perfect
Burr is playing the Ed Harris part.
That makes sense.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Good for him.
I agree.
Yeah.
I won't that I want to go see.
Actually, you know what? Just quickies. I watched his new comedy special on Hulu. It's funny. I like Bill Burr a lot. He's funny, and it's a good
I
new
do
special.
too. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Here's the next one. From homeless to success.
Maxwell?
Maxwell.
The Pursuit of Happiness.
Yes, that's correct.
It fit.
It
All
was
right. I have one more. This would have been the tiebreaker, but Maxwell, you're commanding the lead here, but this is still
perfect.
fun.
Of
So here's the
course.
last one. This paramedic needs some sleep.
Amber?
Amber.
Ambulance?
Incorrect.
Damn. Okay.
Maxwell. Maxwell.
Madam Webb?
It
Is that right?
it's not Madam Webb, no.
Oh, I haven't seen Madam Webb, so I
It's a 90s film. It's from one of our most esteemed directors. Still living.
Paramedic needs some sleep. Swell, come on, you can do this.
This actor that stars this movie was in one of the other movies we've also done in this game.
I need to watch more movies, apparently.
Many would say this is one of this director's most underrated films.
Oh. I'm truly just waiting for Swell to pick it up.
Have
no
bringing
idea.
out the dead.
Bringing out the dead is the correct answer. There you
Took
go.
Took me a minute. Took me a minute.
Night.
Well,
I knew you would get there eventually.
No matter how many minutes it took, Maxwell, you did win this game. Congratulations. You won Whistle While You Work. Amber, you got on the board a couple times. Good job.
I am so proud of myself. This is an achievement that
you
I'll never
be.
forget.
You should be. Maxwell knows I don't make the games easy.
No.
It was fun, though, so.
They should always be fun, but I don't want to make it easy. That's the balance that I hope to achieve now with her name. Let's move on. Let's get some out now. Feedback. This is where we go over the various questions and answers on our Facebook page, facebook.com/podcast. We asked a number of questions to our listeners, and they gave us some answers. Then we got a question or two as well. Maxwell and Amber, feel free to throw in any answers that you might have as we go through these questions. Here cool. is the first one. What's your favorite movie about a princess? Chris Cleland writes, Princess Mononoke and the Princess Bride. Dave Maloof writes, Star Wars, A New Hope with Princess Leia, Spaceballs, A Princess Vespa, and drumroll please, of course, The Princess Bride, Buttercup. And Philip Hurd writes, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. Favorite movies about princesses?
Mine's The Little Mermaid. It always will be. The animated one is key for me in like growth and being a human being, I think.
Seems like that movie is quite a big part of your world.
Ooh, that was good. I love a good one.
I am amongst many others, I would like to shout out The Princess Diaries.
Ah.
Oh, so good.
Which is a film I very much enjoy.
I had never seen The Princess Diaries until last year because we were doing summer of 2004 at 20. So I was going to watch The Princess Diaries 2. So I needed to catch up. And I do like that first one quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's good.
They're very
I would,
fun movies.
I will also add another one that is probably not as obvious, and that is Kurosawa's The Hidden Fortress.
Good answer. There you go.
Which, of course, is very much clearly an inspiration for Stervers.
Mm-hmm. Man,
but
Stervers.
It's a great, I mean, great, great movie.
I will also second Star Wars as a person wearing a Boba Fett shirt right now.
Okay.
I'm quite obsessed with Princess Leia and her mother, even though a lot of people don't like the prequels. I love them. Don't tell anybody. Oh wait, this is a podcast.
All right. Next question we have here. What are some great movies featuring an evil step parent? Philip Hurd writes Pan's Labyrinth. Dave Maloof writes Lemony Snicket, The Stepfather.
Ooh.
And of course, Cinderella, any version.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Cleland has A Tale of Two Sisters or Uninvited. Feature movies of evil step parents.
A lot of ones I would have said were there. I really like Thoroughbreds.
Oh, I love Thoroughbreds.
That came to mind. I was going to say The Stepfather, but someone said it, so yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go with Cinderella's always been my favorite. And like I said, I told you I'm a Disney kid. So like, that's where I'm going first. Yeah, it's Cinderella for me. Purist.
All right. Next question we have. What are your favorite cinematic castles? Michael Lee, friend of the show, writes Howl's Moving Castle. Chris Cleland has it's a small one, but the other Edward Scissorhands like mansion at the end of the road there, and the royal palace of Valsgjalf from Asgard. Dave Maloof has Kroll, the depressing castle of the beast, and the two towers. And Philip Hurd writes the one in Ran that burns. So two Kurosawa references in one feedback session. That's great. Favorite cinematic castles.
Would we count Eyes Wide Shut?
I mean,
because I do like that castle.
It's a good castle. Not gonna say no.
And I do love that movie.
It's a specific type of castle, that's for sure.
It's a sex castle. Let's call it what it is.
It's a sex castle. Oh, I have three.
Yeah.
Maybe even four if I'm allowed to add Game of Thrones, even though that's not cinematic, really.
Castle,
castle's a castle, I guess. So I've always loved Hogwarts, even if, you know, the subject matter may be problematic at times, or the author. I don't know. I absolutely love, again, Ariel's lay, or Eric's castle, the one that becomes her castle. I was like, I want that, and I've been able to go to it, so I'm like, yay. And I think I forgot the last one, but the last of my three, I'm not sure of, but I definitely like what is it? Theon Greyjoy, like the Greyjoy Castle in Game of Thrones. That one's pretty dope. I kind of love it. I like water.
Castle in the Sky. Throw that out there. There's a castle
Ooh.
and it's in the sky. And I really like the palace in Agrabah from Aladdin. I really like
Oh
that
yeah,
design a
that's a
lot.
yeah.
That one's pretty great.
It really sticks. It really has a real iconic feel to me whenever I think about that castle.
That's a good call.
I like that.
All right,
I like that a lot.
next question we have here. What are some great films featuring poison as a weapon?
Poison as
Not
a
to be
weapon.
confused. Not to be confused with our other question of what are great films featuring poison as a song. Luke Thompson writes "Rock of Ages." Right. April Sokol has "Bullet Train." Tammy Klein has "Knives Out." Christopher Hill has "Romeo and
Nice.
Juliet," all versions. Sherlock Holmes, "Game of Shadows," and "9 to 5." Chris Whelan writes "Street Trash." Dave Maloof has "Batman and Robbie," "Batman and Robin" with "Poison Ivy," or was it Uma Thurman badly channeling Mae West? Note the director's commentary on the Blu-ray, well worth a listen, as Joel Schumacher fascinatingly admits how bad the movie. Yeah, it's a good commentary. Let's be becoming Navalny, heroic and iconic Alexei Navalny, who was heinously poisoned by Vladimir Putin in 2020. Not quite a movie, but I mean the documentary. Justin Weatherby has Heathers, and Philip Herter writes Villeneuve's Dune. Great movies featuring poison, but not Bingo.
Arsenic and Old Lace is great.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know if you would say necessarily poison as a weapon, but when I think of poison in movies, Aaron Brockovich.
Okay, no,
Ooh.
that's an interesting way to take it. I like that.
And Phantom Thread,
Oh my God, yes. That's the
which is a
perfect
great movie, and I don't know if
answer.
we'd call it a weapon. Much like Eyes Wide Shut, maybe we'd call it a sex weapon. But I love Phantom Thread. Yeah.
The Sixth Sense,
Oh yeah.
Casino
Which could
Royale.
also fit for the evil step parent
Yep.
category too.
Very, very, there you go.
Yeah.
There we go. Took that answer in there. Casino Royale.
Oh yeah.
And there's one other one that I can't. Oh, Temple of Doom, because I just talked about it in the commentary. Temple of Doom
Oh
has
yeah. Oh yeah.
some poisoning fun in that one. The way poison should be fun.
Mine is a little bit more, I guess it's in the movie, it's a spell, but Practical Magic, when
All
the
right.
girls run and they throw the syrup off the cliff, because they're technically poisoning him to make him go away.
Yeah.
So
I can get behind that.
I liked it. It's a good movie.
Right. All right, next question we have here. What are your favorite cinematic fantasy characters when it comes to those on the smaller side, like dwarves? Chris Whelan has Time Bandits. Philip Hurt has The Little Folk in the Secret World of Arrietty. Speaking of Avenized language there, we like that movie quite a bit. Dave Maloof writes The Lord of the Rings with the Hobbits, the dwarves. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, circa 1973, Busy Little Fireplace Creatures. Todd Leibenow, friend of the show, writes The Munchkins from The Wizard of Oz and The Brownies from Willow. And Luke Thompson writes Prince.
Prince.
That's funny.
So funny.
Samwise Gamgee. And Fievel
You would like Fievel. That makes so much sense.
He goes
I love
west.
that.
He does go west, and he is a little fantasy character, I suppose.
You're gonna laugh at mine. It's literally Tinkerbell from Hook because Julia Roberts is phenomenal.
That's not a word I'd use, but okay.
I love her in that movie. I'm just like, it's one of my favorites. It was a childhood, I don't know, comfort blanket movie for me. So I'm like, oh yeah, that works. I also really actually forgot about them and like the wisps in this Snow White movie, and the ones in Brave. And like you, Yeah, any little magical fairy wisp character, I'm in.
I will say this is basically a fantasy, but I'll say Edna Mode in The Incredibles. That's a
She
good
is tiny.
choice. She's
She
tiny,
also
and the
doesn't like
movie
cake.
is pretty fantastical, I would say. So. It
Yes, it
is.
is.
All right, here's the next one. Might be a challenge for you guys to think about it. What are
Ooh.
you going to ask the magic mirror? Chris Kidd writes, "World peace and a fat bank account." It's not a genie, but all right. Philip Hurd writes, "Stock market investment advice." See, that's more appropriate for a magic mirror. Dan Maloof writes, "Would you give me a starring role in QT's last movie? QT because we're golfing buddies." Again, it's not a wish granter. It's the magic mirror. It's different.
Well, I want to hear what yours is.
I would ask the magic mirror what happens when we die. Not that I necessarily think he would have a concrete answer, but I'd be curious to know what his interpretation is, because I think it's very much a question that you would get a different answer from everyone you ask. Sorry, I'm getting so existential.
That was fine.
My answer is a little bit sad, and I'm sorry for this. I would ask to see like some of the good memories my dad and I had, because he passed away too soon in like 2008, and I miss him so desperately. So like, and I say this with like the biggest heart, because I love my dad and he was a fun man. So sometimes if I needed a little bit of joy, I'd be like, magic mirror, show me my dad. So yeah.
That's a really good answer.
That's a great answer.
I would
Thank
just
you.
ask. I would just ask him what he thinks Eraserhead means.
That's also a good answer.
Oh, on that note, does the top keep spinning?
Ooh, that's another good one. If you're Hans Zimmer in concert, it does.
That's true.
Is that did he stop shredding on his car at one point just to throw that out there? By the way, guys, the top keeps spinning.
I agree. No, he ended the concert with time, and the top just kept going even after they left the stage.
On the video board, yeah, it was really great. I was like, this is
Great.
so cool.
It was a great
Classic
concert.
Zims.
Truly.
That's what we call each other.
Besties
Yes.
for the
Last question we have here. What favorite movie crowns? Mark Hoffmeyer writes, The
Ooh.
Green Knight has a good one.
Oh,
Todd
yes.
Leibnow writes, Hela from Thor Ragnarok. Philip
Also
Hurd
great, yeah.
writes, Aragorn's is a cool minimalist crown that doesn't look too uncomfortable to actually wear. Chris Cleland writes, has to be Cleopatra. Dave Maloof has Hellboy 2's crown of Beth Mora.
Oh, very nice.
Favorite cinematic
Awesome.
crowns.
Ooh. If you take mine, I'm coming in there and I'm gonna scream at you. No, I'm not. Obviously.
The Empress in Curse of the Golden Flower
Ooh, okay.
has a beautiful crown. And Satine in Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, yes, that is a gorgeous crown.
Yeah.
Wanda Maximoff in Doctor
Oh.
Strange in the Multiverse
Oh
of
my
Madness.
God, I have that crown tattooed on my arm. Why didn't I
You
think of
do! And that's why I said you can have
that? Well, I have it forever, so you can have it for this contest.
I mean, I loved that crown so much that I have
Yeah.
Mickey ear versions of it. So I'm like, yep.
I mean, it's not a competition, but I love that crown so much. I
I have it
permanently
tattooed
altered
on my
my
arm.
appearance to.
What? Now you
Sorry,
get a real
Aaron.
man here. Oops.
Since we were talking about Snow White, I mean, say what you will about the Snow White and the Huntsman movie, but Charlize Theron's crown looked like it very much emphasized like that she's evil. Like there's something about there,
Yes.
it's very pointy and like it's gonna hurt if you touch it kind of a crown. Like it very much fit the,
Yes.
you know, that movie's production design obviously is a highlight of that film. And like the design for the Evil Queen specifically stuck out as far as a even her costume design seems menacing. So I would say that worked for me.
Actually, randomly, did anybody say the White Witch? I don't even know if I glossed over it,
No.
but the White Witch in Narnia has a really cool crown. I always thought it was really pretty and very counterintuitive to the character itself.
Okay.
Okay, I have one more.
Okay.
Ooh.
And it's in a movie that I think is like horrible.
All
But
right.
the queen the crown in Queen of the Damned.
Oh, Aaliyah's crown and then.
that Aaliyah wears is re looks really cool.
All
I like
right.
that.
King Louis has a crown in the Jungle Book. It's pretty, it's a nice crown. It does the job.
He is the king of the swingers.
That's right. Gigantic. All right, let's get to some questions that we got here. First one's from Philip Hurd. He asks basically a logistical question. Are y'all considering a Gene Hackman tribute episode like you did for David Lynch? Philip, I admire the thought of doing an episode like that. I will say the David Lynch one, we were all very involved in that one, and it really felt like something we wanted to do that really helped celebrate the man because we just hadn't talked about David Lynch before. Gene Hackman in depth. Gene Hackman, obviously a fantastic actor. We have lots of opinions on him. I don't know if we would put an entire episode together on him, but maybe I could do this sculpting around the line, down the line, perhaps, and have some fun with that, perhaps, because I do think there's plenty to talk about if we were to talk about Gene Hackman. If anything, we might do like a commentary for like French Connection or something down the road, just because it would be a good opportunity to talk about him at length in that way while still getting into something else as well. But the David Lynch thing, that did feel like a very specific type of episode to do that we're very proud of. We all like really, we took 3 hours and spent a lot of time talking all about him. But no, certainly something to consider. So good question there. Dave Maloof asks, so guys, I again, every time David asks the question, so he gives a little intro. So guys, interdimensional beings have pierced our reality. One of the few things known about them is that they can communicate only through projected images, making film an excellent medium for communication. Other major information that we are sure of is that they don't understand nuance or subtlety at all. A few individuals have met their unfortunate end because of this. So, what films do you choose to show them and why? And what do you think the outcome will be? Okay. That is it. You got that? You guys got that? Okay. So, what films do we show interdimensional beings and why? And what will the outcome be?
I'm showing them Singing in the Rain just to see how meta it can get.
Okay.
I'm gonna show them Asteroid City.
All
Hometown.
right. I'm just gonna. I don't like the end of this question as far as others have met an unfortunate end. So here's my thought. I'm gonna show them, Independence Day, War of the Worlds, and any other alien invasion movie where the aliens get their asses kicked. Just to show them we mean business around here. Don't come
Like,
starting.
I will antagonize you with film.
Don't come starting something if you're not ready to finish it. That's what I'm saying over here.
Well,
Love it.
if they don't understand nuance or subtlety, let's see them wrap their heads around a film by someone we were just talking about. Let's show them
David
Mulholland
Lynch.
Drive.
Well, yeah. Let's
See how
go.
that
It'll at least
goes.
keep them distracted long enough for us to, have the upper hand if necessary.
100%.
Yeah.
So funny.
All right, well,
Him
that's
over here,
enough.
like singing in the rain. Ha ha.
Well, that's enough feedback, and that's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode about Now, Theron, and Abe. You can find everything I do at my personal Substack page, thehoodiseat.substack.com. Everything I do ends up over there. I'm the editor in chief for We Live Entertainment. All my movie reviews can be found there. I write Blu-ray and Criterion reviews over at Why So Blue, and I'm on all the socials there on PS4, and of course, Two Black Guys Talk Godzilla. Myself and Terrence Johnson host a Godzilla-themed podcast where we talk about the Godzilla franchise in chronological order. Stay tuned for our latest episode coming up very soon. Maxwell Haddad, where can people find more of you online?
People can find me on Twitter at Cinemaxwell. Amber and I have a company called Amber Productions. We have our third annual Janice Jam, which is a benefit concert we produce every year to raise money for metastatic breast cancer research. That's coming up in May. So if you're in the New York area, stay tuned for details on that and how you can buy tickets. And also, Amber and I used to podcast a lot together, and we were half joking, half serious that we are using this. And thank you, Aaron, for having us both on as
Yes,
a
thank you.
backdoor pilot for relaunching our podcast. So stay tuned for that. I think the Embercast is going to be launching with all sorts of pop culture nonsense sooner rather than later.
Oh, and it's time too. Oh,
It is
thank God.
time.
Hope to hear it. Amber, anything I'd like to add?
Yes, you can find me on all social media. It's a very complicated name. It's Takara Kanashi, Takara Kanashi. I literally just rejoined Twitter after letting my old one explode. And then, one half of Ember Productions working on the Janish Jam. We produce theater things and podcast things, so you can find us in all those places, usually
Wonderful.
together.
All right. You can find all the other episodes of Out Now Friday on iTunes, Audioboom, Spotify, and Stitcher. Feel free to email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Blue Sky at Out Now Podcast, or Twitter and Instagram at Out Now underscore podcast. Once again, Maxwell, Amber, thank you both for joining me this evening.
Thank you for
Thank
Next week's
you.
show, we are probably gonna, I think Death of a Unicorn is probably gonna be our main subject. I know A Working Man with Jason Statham comes out as well, so we'll see what Abe and I decide on talking as our main review. Maybe both, we'll see what happens. But that is gonna do it for this week's episode out there. Out Now, Farrah and Abe. Thank you two once again for joining me. Thank the listeners for listening. Abe should be back with me next week, and that's gonna do it. So until next time, so long and goodbye.
Waiting on a wish beneath a thousand treetops, and as the silver sky stops, I send a whisper to the water. Waiting on a wish, holding out for someday, hoping somehow, some way, I'll become my father's daughter. I close my eyes and see the girl I'm meant to be. Is she a part of me I've yet to find? Wondering, will she appear, or will I be forever here, waiting on a wish?